I want to call the Wednesday, July 15th, 2015 Taney County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. First item on our agenda is establishment of a quorum.
Okay, Sean Pingleton.
Present.
And Tom Gideon called. Tony Mullen.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Here.
And Alan Lawson called as well.
Okay.
But we have established a quorum.
Okay, well, we've got three tonight, and so when we only have three, we all three have to vote unanimously on whatever the decision may be. So before we move on any farther, we want to let, we've got, looks like four things we're gonna talk about tonight. So if any of you would prefer to come back another month, you can. We want to give you that option. So if not, then we can hear it tonight. We just want to let everybody know that for something to pass, it would have to be unanimous with all three of us. Anybody, everybody want to continue? We've got representatives from everybody? Okay. And if you haven't signed up, you need to sign up to speak up here if you need to do that. So, okay, next item is our governing statutes. Right? I know these are always backwards on the agenda, but don't we do that next?
Either or.
Okay. Okay. Because you've got explanations of public hearing procedures and presentation of exhibits before
okay.
that. So
okay.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Mark, you're the regular reader. Would you like to continue being the regular reader?
Get my glasses on and okay. I'll see what I can do. The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. 1, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged that there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. 2, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. 3, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege. To authorize, upon an appeal relating to the property, a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map.
Thank you, sir. Explanation of public hearing and procedures.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you this evening to the July 15th, 2015 Board of Adjustment public hearing. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of the Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held for each variance or appeal request which is filed with the Planning Department. At this time, I wish to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, the staff file including all pertinent information for each case as Exhibit C, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report will be read for each appeal and variance request, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If, as the chairman indicated, if you wish to comment upon any of the requests being heard this evening, you must sign up at the front of the room. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will therefore be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in attendance in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes, unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. Presentation of exhibits. Looks like we've got four items tonight.
Okay.
First one is SMBZ LLC. We do have a representative here for them. Hi, Tim.
Okay.
He's got a little bit to do, and then I'll call you up. Thanks.
This is case number 2015-8V. It's a setback variance request. The applicant is SMBZ LLC, Steve Creedon. The representative is Tim Davis. And here's the property in question, and we'll zoom in on that. The subject property is located on Jamie Court and Woodbridge Estates. I don't know why the labeling doesn't show up here, but Branson, Missouri. It's in the Scott Township, Section 33, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got a few different views of the property from the north, south, east, and west. The request, the applicant is requesting a variance from Section 7, Table 1, Setbacks of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 25-foot front property line setback requirement for lots 20 through 38 of Woodbridge Estates Subdivision in order to allow for the construction of single-family residences, which would be located approximately 10 feet from the front property line. The background and site history on this, on December 10th, 2004, the final plat of Woodbridge Estates Phase 1 was signed by the planning administrator and filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office, creating the initial two-lot subdivision. In December 20th of 2004, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2004-64, authorizing the development of a 45-lot medium-density residential subdivision to be known as Woodbridge Estates. And on December 28, 2005, the final plat shown here of Woodbridge Estates Phase 2 was filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office upon being signed by the Planning Administrator, creating basically this additional 37-lot subdivision. The applicant now is, as I'd stated, is basically requesting a 15-foot setback or a 15-foot variance, allowing for the homes to be built approximately 10 feet from the front property line. The applicant is requesting, of course, the setback variance pursuant to Missouri Revised Statute Number 64870, based upon the steep topography of the lots. The applicant has indicated that the steepness of the lots is such that they drop about 1 foot for every 2 linear feet on the downhill side. And it's a little hard to see, but this is just using the contour layer from Beacon, and basically every contour line is a 2 foot change in elevation. The applicant has further indicated that the smaller setbacks will save a demonstrable expense of adding a great amount of fill to make the lots buildable, or of excavating extensively on the lots above the road as well, up in here. The applicant has further argued that setbacks exceeding 10 feet are an unreasonable deprivation of use. The applicant has indicated that the shorter setbacks will benefit surrounding property owners, and that all of the houses on Woodbridge Estates Drive and Jamie Court will be further away from the properties on the surrounding streets. The applicant also feels that the reduced setbacks are more environmentally friendly, because they require less fill, less land disturbance, and construction is also kept away from the nearby creek. Staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this road variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 15 feet from the front property line adjoining Woodbridge Estates Drive and Jamie Court, allowing for the construction of new single-family residences, which will be located approximately 10 feet from the front property line. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Tatum County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Tatum County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video here. We did a quick 360, just really close to the entrance of the properties in question. And this is the entry road coming in to the subdivision in question. And then we essentially just drove the two subdivision roads to get an indication of the topography.
So on your right there, that falls off to the south towards, I guess it would be Jasmine Drive over there. Is that right?
I think across that's correct, yeah. Creek. And then through part of this, there's actually a few lots on each side, both the north and the south side.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. We do have one person signed up to speak tonight. It's Tim Davis. Tim, you're the representative, I believe. If you're coming up, we'll swear you in real quick. Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about your project request.
Sean, Bob did a good job of preparing the video and explaining our basic rationale for wanting to reduce the setbacks. Basically, no houses along these two roads that are shown. No houses are built on the lots that surround those roads. But we would like to build lots and build houses, but scrunch everything closer to the road. That is, all the houses on both sides, the uphill and downhill, move them closer to the road. And as Bob mentioned, I believe it benefits the surrounding property owners, people who have houses in the surrounding area, because anything we would build would be further away from the existing structures because we're pulling it closer to the road. It also requires, as Bob mentioned, less excavation on the uphill side, less fill to be put in place on the downhill side. That's obviously very economical because excavation work and dirt work is so expensive. I don't believe it will. I thought carefully about it. I don't believe it will have any negative results. That is, it won't negatively affect any existing structure or property outside of this area that we propose. If I may approach, I brought some additional photographs in addition to Bob's video.
Thank you.
These are some still shots that I think help illustrate the steepness on the uphill side and also how it falls away on the downhill side. You'll notice that the road has a high rock bank on the uphill side. That gives some indications to the steepness of the terrain. I do believe also that this is the very type of situation that would be authorized by 64.870.1 and in subsection 3. So subsection 3 is the one on which we submit our application based on the steepness of the topography. We're asking for the variance. Oh, there are also all underground utilities are already in place on the at least underground electric and water. I don't know about sewer, whether it's in place or not. But I know we have underground electric and water, and there are also fire hydrants in the subdivision.
Okay. Anything else to add?
That's it.
Questions, sir, for Mr. Davis?
No questions.
Okay. I've just got one. It actually has to do with the road. Obviously it's been there a while, and so I think it was just growth over it. I don't think it was. It was hard to tell a little bit on the video, but I'm just curious.
That's what it appeared to be, really, in driving it, is okay. Just that it started to overgrow
like
with weeds and
okay,
that type of thing.
It looked to be the right width and all that stuff. It was a little hard to tell on that.
I believe so. I mean, okay. I think it met.
I know that's not the request,
yeah.
But when I saw that, I was just curious about that. So.
I know it's wide enough for two cars to be side by side.
Okay, a little hard to tell on that just because there was so much growth, but
yeah.
Makes sense since there's no homes down there. Okay. Any other comments? No questions, it doesn't sound like. If there are no questions, then I would entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to approve case number 2015-008V.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I'd just like to say that the topography is what I'm making that motion based upon. I feel that is a hardship, and I like the fact that there's less land disturbance.
I agree. I'm usually not a real big fan of changing setbacks, especially that much, but in this case, it makes sense.
Now, I do
That's
have
the
one
right
other,
reason.
Excuse me, Sean.
Yes.
I do have one other comment. One thing bothered me just a little bit, and I wonder if it did anybody, and that is condition one, where the plus or minus is there, and it was being read as approximately. I'd hate to see it any less than 10 feet.
Okay.
And, because minus, are we talking minus 2 feet? You know, you need to have some front space. So as long as it's not any less than 10 feet, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's helpful to just say it's
yeah, we mean 10 feet.
So your change to your motion would be to amend that where it says...
Plus, I just take out the plus or minus. It's 10 feet. We're given a 15-foot variance. That leaves 10 feet.
And if they want to do 12, they can. but not less than.
I'd like to amend it just to drop the plus or minus so it's clear and there's never an argument over the guy that built it 7 foot back or whatever.
That's good.
Tony, you had the second on that? Okay. Any other discussion? I'd call for a... Roll call vote then. Mark?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Sean votes yes as well. So the motion passes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is a Thomas A. Kraft setback variance request. Do we have a representative? Okay. Oh, I guess I should have looked at it. I would have. My glasses are in the car. I'm having a hard time reading much anything.
This is case number 2015-9V, and this is also a setback variance request. The applicants are Thomas A. and Mary K. Kraft. The representative is Eddie Wolf. And here's the property in question. I was having trouble seeing that for a second. The subject property is located in the 900 block of Lakeview Drive, Ridgedale, Missouri. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 11, Township 21, Range 22. We've got a view. I don't know why this one's so dark, but we've got a view from the north, view from the south, east, and west. The applicants, Thomas A. and Mary K. Kraft, are requesting a variance also from Section 7, Table 1, or setbacks of the Development Guidance Code. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 25-foot front property line setback requirement in order to allow for the construction of a 36 by 48 or 1,728 square foot storage garage to be located 15 feet from the front property line. The subject property is a vacant 0.32 acre lot per the assessor's information and is described as all of lot 32, block 23 in Ozarks Paradise Village. The applicants, again, they're requesting the 10-foot front property line setback variance. Basically, they're requesting this primarily to ensure that there's adequate space in the future for the future construction of a 2,800 square foot residence. In review, section 7.1 of the Development Guidance Code requires measurements to the structure shall be made to the part of the structure that is closest to the property line. And so essentially we were required to make measurements from the roof overhang. The property in question is an irregularly shaped triangular property. The applicants have indicated due to the irregular size of the property and the steep terrain that the engineers have not been able to accomplish the goal of placing both the home and the garage upon the property while also meeting the setback requirements of the Development Guidance Code. The applicants have presented a boundary survey of the property containing the corners of both the proposed residence and garage. The applicant's current residence is located on the adjoining lot addressed, and I guess I should really say adjoining lots, addressed at 981 Lakeview Drive. This is actually lots 30 and 31, block 23 of Ozarks Paradise Village. The applicants also own lots 28 and 29, I don't recall the number, but they do own these as well. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this road variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 10 feet from the front property line adjoining Lakeview Drive, allowing for the construction of a new garage, which will be located plus or minus 15 feet from the front property line. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a brief video.
Ready to have her fishing pole again?
I don't know if I caught her with it, but... And Bull Streets are really referred to as Lakeview. And this is the property in question right at the corner here. Oops. This is the applicant's current residence, and I just went in and kind of shot down into the property just a little bit.
You didn't bring any ticks and chiggers back with you, did you? Not around here.
Not that day, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you.
Okay, we have one representative or one person signed up to speak tonight, and it's a representative Eddie Wolf. So, Eddie, if you want to come on up, I'll get you sworn in. Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I think Bob kind of touched on most of the problems out here on this lot, you know, we've got anywhere around, we're close to a lake like that, there's pretty good contours to the lake. You know, so that's the steepness part of it. And if you get to looking at the lot, we don't have a pointer, but here's
mine.
This here?
Okay.
New pointer? A new pointer.
Oh, it is.
Wow.
You switch kinds on me.
Yeah. Maybe this one's a little easier.
If I remember right, this line here, what, 44 foot, Bob?
I think so.
You know, you take a 25 foot setback in front, 10 in the rear, that's 35 foot. There's only 9 foot of that lot left there on that end. And, you know, the lot is really irregularly shaped to make it very difficult to build on. And there's nobody else that basically lives right down this area here because it is a kind of a dead-end road down there. And it doesn't interfere with any site distance if the variance was granted for any driving or anything like that, because that's one reason to have setbacks is for site distance, for improvements on the road if it's ever expanded, you know, et cetera. So there really isn't anything that it would affect other than just being able to build a shop, which you want to build a shop to be able to store these boats in. And he needs, if you put his boats in there, he needs a shop a certain size. And with the way the setbacks are on that lot, we can't get that size building there to put these boats in because he lives in Lee's Summit. You know, they're out of town, and they like to have a place to be able to store their boats and everything. They got the house there next door to this. But there's, you know, just no way to put the building on there without a setback. And there isn't been any of the neighbors object to anything. You know, I had a couple of them call me that had been notified. And so nobody has a problem with it. And the gentleman is trying to do everything the right way. You know, he's trying to involve. He had us do a boundary, a topo, so he could actually see what was there. Got an architect going to design the buildings if it's approved. So he's trying to do the right thing, you know, and make the neighborhood look nice. It's just that we've got the restraints of that irregular-shaped lot to keep us from building. And that's why we're asking for the variance.
Okay. Anything else to add?
Not that I can think of. But I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Could you pull the site plan up with the... just want to make sure I know what I'm... There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, point out to me... I think I saw it, but I want to make sure I'm right there. So the gray part... With the dash lines going on in there, I want to make sure what all those mean.
This one here, right here, is a 25 foot.
Okay.
This is 10 foot back here.
Okay.
There's a side setback, and then this would be the line if it was reduced to 10 foot. That'd be a 15 foot setback right there.
If it was reduced by 10 feet. Okay. I saw those. I thought that's what that was, but I wasn't
sure. This is county
code,
and this would be if the variance is granted.
So you're kind of showing us what it would be if it was granted.
If it was granted. And you can see by this here that, you know, the road sets quite a ways this way. You can see the contours coming up. So the road isn't actually centered in the right-of-way. It's actually up the hill, so there's more room there than if you had the road centered in the road. And there's very, you know, you can look at the overall picture of that with the residents out there, and there just isn't any traffic down there hardly at all. You know, some people driving down to the lake with golf carts, and that's about it.
Okay. Any other questions?
That road is open to the lake down there. You can see the turnaround to the boat docks.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just on the building of the house, this 28 square foot house, what is that? I mean, is that something he's got?
That's something he would like to do in the future. He wanted to see if we had room in there that he could put a house at a later date if he did so choose. But he's not wanting to build a house at this time.
Because without the house, you could meet your setback requirements.
Probably could. But, and it's going to take some pretty good retaining walls in there to build anything. He's just trying to get the most benefit he can out of the lot and have a place to put his boats.
Anything else?
I don't have any questions.
Well, I don't have anything else either, so if there are no other questions, I would entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to approve case number 2015009V based upon the regular size of the lot.
Same thing on number one before you get too far.
Yeah. Without the plus or minus.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right, I'll call for a roll call vote then. Mark?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Sean votes yes as well.
So thank you, gentlemen.
Passes. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is Profund Capital LLC, appeal conditions and of decision of record. We do we have a representative here tonight? Very good. Okay.
Okay. This is actually an error. This should say this is case number 2015-2V. This is an appeal of conditions 5 and 9 of Division 3 Permit 2015-11.
2A, right?
2A.
Just to be clear. Not 2V, 2A.
Yes, I apologize. It should be
sorry.
2A. You're correct.
Okay.
The applicant is Profund Capital, LLC, Steve Shepard. And here's the property in question. We'll kind of zoom in here. The subject property is located at 290 Lone Pine Road, Branson, Missouri, in the Branson Township, Section 10, Township 22, Range 22. And again, we've got the north, south, east, and west views of the property. The applicant, Profund Capital, LLC, Steve Shepard, is requesting to appeal conditions 5 and 9 of the Division 3 Special Use Permit 2015-11 decision of record. The background on this and site history: on April 22, 1999, Division 1 Permit 1999-180 was issued for the construction of a 2,500 square foot single family residence. The single-family residence is currently listed per the assessor's information via Beacon as being approximately 7,742 square feet in size. The home is currently listed on the MLS, or Multiple Listing Service, as being a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath bathroom home. On April 22, 1999, Septic Permit 99-158 was issued for the property in question. For a septic system sized to accommodate a three-bedroom residence. On December 16, 2013, the Taney County Planning Commission denied a special use request by Steve Shepard seeking to utilize the existing three-bedroom single-family residence for nightly rental. However, at that time, the applicant also sought to convert the existing indoor racquetball/basketball court into two additional bedrooms that would also be available for nightly rental. The Planning Commission voted to deny this request by a vote of 5-1. The majority of the Planning Commission based its decision upon the belief that the proposed nightly rental of the single-family residence located at 290 Lone Pine Road would not be compatible with the surrounding single-family residential area, as stipulated specifically in Appendix E of the Development Guidance Code. And then the Planning Commission further expressed reservations at that time about the capacity of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system in ensuring adequate provision of sewer service for the proposed nightly rental use with the addition of bedrooms. So at that time, the applicant was actually seeking to add two additional bedrooms plus utilize the existing bedrooms for nightly rental. On May 18th, 2015, the Taney County Planning Commission did approve Division 3 Special Use Permit 2015-11, authorizing the utilization of the existing four-bedroom home, four-bedroom single-family residence, for nightly rental. This Division 3 special use permit was approved with a total of 11 conditions. The subject property, which is approximately 12,500 square feet, contains the approximately 7,742 square foot four bedroom home located at 290 Lone Pine Road. It's known as Lot 16, Block 1 of the Skyline Subdivision, and it has been permitted for nightly rental. In review on this, the applicant is requesting to appeal conditions 5 and 9 of the Division 3 Permit 2015-11 Decision of Record. Condition 5 of the Decision of Record currently states the following. The on-site wastewater treatment system shall be upgraded, ensuring capacity for the persons that will be accommodated via nightly rental. This upgraded on-site wastewater treatment system shall be permitted via the Taney County Planning Department in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. Scott Sterrett, the on-site wastewater permitting individual, has met with the original installer, Dwayne Clavin, in order to investigate. He met with him in order to investigate the possible expansion or modification of the wastewater treatment system relating to the approval of the nightly rental of the structure. Mr. Sterrett, Mr. Clavin discovered basically two problems with any expansion of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system. First, they basically didn't see any physical way to get the equipment back to the yard to allow for the work required to expand the system. Also, during the Planning Commission public hearing, the adjoining property owner to the north of the property in question had stated publicly that he would not allow access to this backyard via his property. Mr. Sterrett and Mr. Clavin further concluded that there are no suitable locations for a new wastewater treatment system, either in the front or side yards. Secondly, Mr. Sterrett has further indicated that it's his opinion that the present wastewater treatment system is using 100% of the available space in the backyard, which means that any addition would not meet the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services setback requirements. Mr. Sterrett has further expressed concerns about any work being completed on or over the existing lateral field that currently is not showing any signs of failure. The staff does recommend that if the board makes the decision to remove condition number 5, that a new condition be placed on the decision of record requiring the existing septic tank to be pumped at a minimum on an annual basis in order to extend the lifetime of the lateral field by keeping solids out of the lateral lines. The staff further recommends that this condition include a provision requiring the applicant to provide a pumping contract to the Planning Department office. Finally, the staff recommends that a riser be installed on the tank, ensuring pumping access to the tank as well. Condition number 9 of the decision of record states the following. A privacy fence shall be established between the nightly rental structure and the adjoining existing single-family residence immediately to the south. I should say residence and not residences. The applicant has indicated that a request for the fence was never presented, and due to the elevation of the property would serve no purpose whatsoever. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this, and it should say appeal request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of an appeal from conditions 5 and 9 of the original decision of record for Division 3 Special Use Permit 2015-11, removing each of the two initial conditions from the decision of record. Second, the septic tank serving the nightly rental home, located at 290 Lone Pine Road, Branson, Missouri, shall be pumped at a minimum of annually. The applicant shall provide a copy or copies of the plumbing of the pumping contracts to the planning department office. A riser shall be installed on the existing septic tank, ensuring adequate pumping access. Third, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And fourth, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a video of this property, and we started in the front basically, and do just a quick, pretty quick, I think, 360 here. Maybe lying to you. I thought I did anyway. And then we've also, I wanted to go into the back just to show the backyard and the area where the septic system's located. I may have to have you, I probably should have had Scott point out precisely where the lateral field is, but I do know it's located in the backyard. And then I also wanted to get some shots between the houses. Basically, the way that Condition 9's written, it's calling for a privacy fence between the Knightley rental house and, or the property in question and the neighbor.
Okay. All right. We have one person signed up to speak tonight, and that is the representative, Steve Shepherd. So, Steve, if you'd like to come on up, we'll get you sworn in.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us about your project and request.
Well, the first of all, I wasn't the one that built the house and moved it from 2,500 to 7,700 feet.
That was my first question.
That was not my doing. It was a foreclosure that I bought from the bank. It was in total disrepair. It was a horrible eyesore. And my initial goal was to come in and fix the house up, get it repaired, and sell it. I'm a real estate broker out of Oklahoma, and that's what I do. Once I got it fixed up, however, my wife saw it, and she saw the view off the back of Table Rock Lake, and she goes, I think maybe we don't need to sell this property. And so we decided that we would try to be able to turn it into a nightly rental, and our plans the first time that got turned down were too big. It was just too big of our view, vision was too big for the area. Second time, the Planning Commission did approve it, and that's great. The current septic system works just fine. It's in perfect condition, and when we sat down with Scott, one of his concerns was, is even if we could get access to it, which we can't really because of so many trees, you can't bring a big truck in to put in a bigger septic tank. He didn't want anybody driving over the current lateral lines, which would have a tendency to damage those. So he says, you know, let's find another solution. And so the more we talked about it, we talked about pumping the septic tank on a basis as often as necessary in order to achieve the same results that we would if we just were able to extend the lateral line. But I caught a call from Mr. Clavin, who was the septic tank guy that put this in before, and he had a conversation with Scott today that I thought was very interesting that you guys need to be aware of. This system, current capacity is 360 gallons per day. That's what it's rated for. And so that's 10,800 gallons per year. the current usage, even as a vacation rental, if I could hope to get 50% of the rental during a year, I would be extremely fortunate, which means that we're only using half of the system that's there even now. So we've got 180 gallons per day that's not even being used half the year long. So that's probably one of the good reasons why the system's working so well now. It just doesn't have that much demand on the system. So we're totally willing to do whatever Scott wanted to do, but we just don't have access, you know, to get that done. So the other thing that we talked about was that, you know, we can control the amount of use of that system. And you go, well, how in the world can you control that? The good news is on this house, Bob, there's a water meter. Since we're on Missouri American Water, since there's a water meter, I can look at and I can tell exactly how many gallons are being used in that house at any one time. I could provide a monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, or annual report to Scott to show him that we can regulate and keep the amount of gallons that we're using below the current rated system. I mean, and so the state requirement, when we moved to a fourth bedroom, it made the assumption that, well, we're increasing capacity from 8 people to 10 people. Well, when you do that, that's what caused the system to require the upgrade. But we're talking about hypotheticals. And it's hypothetical because it's saying that we've got 10 people staying there every night, 365 days a year. But the state can't write regs that account for every situation. So we can prove using the water meter how much usage that we're going to have in that house. We could, if we had to, if I was fortunate enough to have to tone back the number of rentals to stay within that 360 gallons per day, you know, we could do that. We can control that. But like I said, what you have to realize is in November, you're going to have it rented maybe 1 week for Thanksgiving. In December, it's going to be rented 1 week for Christmas. Means it's vacant the rest of the time. January, February, March is not going to have any rentals. And then the way that this works is it's really only rented on weekends. So you got people coming in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're using the facilities, then they're gone. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's nobody in the house. So that's why I'm telling you that we're not even anywhere close to 50% usage of the current system that's there now. And that's just the nature of the beast. So, you know, when we met with Scott, he recommended what he's recommended, that we set up an agreement with a company to pump the system as often as necessary. I'm totally happy to do that. We've got a good system that's currently working now. We don't want to mess it up and can't anyway. I can't get to it. The benefit that I see looking at your guidelines, the benefit to the local people around the house is real simple. The longer I can maintain this system and the longer I can keep it working in good working order, the better it's going to be for everybody in the area. And that's what this does. In fact, turning it into a nightly rental, which wasn't part of our discussion when we got approved, just the fact that it is means that there's not going to be people in that house 365 days a year. There's just not. They're going to be in the house maybe 50% of the time. So I think it makes sense. I think it helps the people in the area, and it solves the problem and extends the life of the system.
Okay.
So thanks for your consideration. I appreciate it.
Anything you want to ask about the fence?
Oh, the fence is when Bob and I talked, when the fence came up in discussion or at the meeting, it was kind of, I even looked at it as kind of an oversight because there was never any discussion about a fence. The elevation of the house is up here. The house next door to me is down here. I'd have to put up a 50-foot fence for there to be any privacy. I mean, if you put up a 6-foot fence, you're still going to be looking at the house because we're so much higher in elevation that the fence absolutely does no good. So, I mean, I'll put one in if you want one put in, but there's no purpose to it because it doesn't provide any privacy to anybody.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, stay close.
I'm sure we'll have some questions for you.
Okay.
I'll go first. I got a couple questions. Night rentals are always fun, you know, for both sides. I understand that. I've been on the planning and zoning side of that for several years and dealt with night rentals. So I've heard a lot of concerns. Some are valid, some are not. But first of all, with the fence, this is just my thoughts behind it. I understand what you're saying about it's not full all the time. I also hear the concern a lot about neighbors saying, well, I don't know who's there. If you're my neighbor every day, I know you. We know each other. We have a relationship, good or bad. We have a relationship. But somebody's who's there for the weekend to party. You know, I mean, they say that a lot, whether that's why they're there or not. You know, the folks next door or down the street are a little bit concerned about that. They don't know who they are or why they're there. So at least from a fence standpoint, I don't know what the intent was behind the fence, privacy blocking the view, or it was, I know more than once I've heard it come up in discussions about just keeping people off somebody else's property, not knowing where the property lines are, actually keeping, not being able to not be seen, but keeping people from moving onto somebody else's property and causing issues with that. Sure, absolutely.
The property next door to me is a nightly rental.
Is a nightly rental approved nightly rental?
And it's a non-approved nightly rental.
It's not an approved nightly rental.
Okay.
We didn't receive a complaint on it.
And I know how that, yeah, I understand.
And I haven't complained about it, but I was told my neighbor said if I put a fence up there, he's going to tear it down. Because, you know, I mean, this is acreage-type property, and the fence doesn't look too good. But anyway, it functions as a nightly rental.
I don't know. I guess what I was trying to get from you or Bob or both is what do you feel like the intent behind the fence was? Was it to keep people on the property? Because that has come up several times for that reason alone.
I think in this case, it was actually looked upon as being...
Or was it commercial to residential?
That's kind of what it was looked upon as.
Since there's not the buffer.
But in reality, he's correct. We have found evidence that this is being utilized as a nightly rental.
Well, and I'm not on the fence brigade or nothing, but, you know, on the other side, that one's probably residential, and that one's probably residential.
Yes.
Although this is a special use permit, it's not a commercial.
Yes.
Permitted
correct.
Commercial. So technically speaking, unless I'm mistaken, it's been a few years, that the landscape buffering or the fence is not really a requirement on our code.
Let me double check.
Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking, let's see how it's working.
Because even though the one next door is a nightly rental, I don't know about the one behind you. You have other neighbors you abut.
I have
other residential properties you abut.
No.
Whether there's...
I have a vacant lot behind me.
I'm sorry. You have other non-commercial properties that you abut.
I don't...
The way the code reads. I'm thinking of our code.
Yeah. I have a vacant lot behind me and a vacant lot to the north of me.
That looks like a house. Is that not a house right there?
That is... that's the nightly rental... That's the non-approved nightly rental next to me on the south.
And then the one right next to you?
Let's zoom in.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Okay.
There you go.
Does this work?
Yeah.
It does.
What do I push? This?
Yeah.
Okay, if that's my place, this
right.
one is the non-approved nightly rental here.
Okay.
This is vacant lot.
Well, that looks like one lot to me, is it not?
It's two lots. This guy right here owns both of these, and he also owns this. So there's vacant lot here, there's vacant lot here, and then his nightly rental is here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. I guess, go ahead. And
the way the code book, the way the code's written in the nightly rental section, just says a buffer shall be established between any structure utilized for nightly rental and any existing residential use.
Okay. If that's not, I mean, I know you know it's nightly rental and you know it's nightly rental, but we're looking at that as residential. But it doesn't say a fence. It just says a buffer.
Yes.
And it doesn't give a width.
It doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't.
And by the way, there's a buffer right here, which is all trees.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a buffer. And so that at least clears, for me, that clears that part up.
Okay.
So in this instance, there are plenty of times where a fence would stop people from getting on somebody else's property. That's just for me. You guys may have a different opinion.
I'm sure.
What is the max number of people you allow on your nightly rental? Is it 10? I mean, I know 10. You were given.
Well, the code says 10 and then 4 children under 4.
Okay, so because we didn't see all the rest of the conditions. So you're saying the rest of the conditions
we
allow
would just
that specifically?
The current code guidelines.
Okay.
Which is 10 adults and 4 children under the ages of 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Sean, I really appreciate you going through that on the fence because that was where my question was. On the sewer, you shouldn't have any equipment driving over that. That's clear and it's working. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I did have a question on the fence, and if the neighbor wanted it, all of my questions have been answered thanks to that fine discussion you just went through.
Thanks, Mark. Anything else? Okay. I don't have any other questions, so I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve 2015-0002A.
Sorry.
I will second.
Okay, just as just make sure it looks like it's he's going to change out the road variance and actually get it correct. So.
The right wording
is written correctly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
No, just that I appreciate the way you're going about this, sir.
It is the right way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I call for roll call vote. Mark.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Sean also votes yes. Passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob, thank you.
Thank you.
I will say it's nice to go through the channels properly and get the proper approvals.
I know, when it makes sense.
It's a nice thing to do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got one more item on the agenda tonight. It's 7M Development LLC, a request for reconsideration. We do have a representative here tonight for that as well.
That's me.
Okay. Do you have anything here first, or is this a little bit different, I know?
I really don't. I didn't prepare a staff report.
Good enough. We'll so, I guess we'll... Okay. So if you'd state your name, and then we'll swear you in.
I'm Mark Miller.
Okay, Mark Miller, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth? Let me try again. Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. What's your request?
I'm just simply requesting tonight to have an opportunity for a rehearing. On the day that I was supposed to come up here with you guys, that tropical depression blew in, and my flight was one of hundreds of flights that got killed. I could have left my house, driven up, had a nice relaxing lunch, and driven home by the time it took me just to get up here. By the time I got up here, it was a done deal. In between.